It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forstin.
Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. I have as my returning guest, Bob Gilpatrick, who is an advanced holistic therapist and has been on the show several times now. We've talked about holistic nutrition, understanding diabetes, the molecules of love and desire, which was a very fun show, and a lot of people have commented on it to me. The autoimmune disorder show has been the most recent, and today we're going to tackle the revolution against death and dying. Since you've worked with the elderly in the past and have both an MSW in administration and gerontology, did this topic come about maybe in part because you were watching elderly people slowly and maybe in some cases rapidly lose their well-being as a whole? And so, you know, maybe did some of it kind of occur to you back then that, gee, you know, we don't have to get old if we choose not to?
Yes, absolutely. That's true. I worked for 20 years in skilled nursing facilities. So the average age of the person that lived there was 85, which is about 7 or 8 years beyond what the average age that people live to.
That's true.
And so when someone would come to live in a nursing home, they would live for about 6 months. Some would live much longer, some just a few days. Mm. But generally, people would come to live in a nursing home after they'd had a sentinel health event that landed them in the hospital, a heart attack, a stroke, something like that.
And they couldn't go home.
And they could not go home after that. So they would come to live in the nursing home, sometimes short term because there's rehab at mm-hmm. nursing homes as mm-hmm. well. But for the most part, they were coming there to live out the rest of their life. And when you see somebody that is coming into a nursing home, you can make the nursing home as great as you want. And we had our own art gallery there, and we had custom meals and all kinds of great things that a lot of people don't have in their own home. But the fact still remained that they would go through this progressive dispossession of their resources, mm-hmm. meaning their money. A lot of times they were now no longer in their community, so they weren't going to their same church. They were mm-hmm. going to the church at the nursing home. Their friends who weren't nearby enough, or maybe themselves were elderly. And then they also were losing their physical resources,
right.
Their eyesight, their hearing, their ability to get around.
Right.
And when people are that old, they also age very, very rapidly.
Right.
So if someone between the age of 85 and 85 and a half ages a tremendous amount.
You know, one of the things that I was going to bring up, just because I know people that are listening probably have seen this happen, but I'm aware of a man who was 94, and he was doing really quite well, living independently still, but his dog got sick. And when his dog got sick, they took the dog to the vet. The vet had to put the dog down. But his family didn't want him to know that right away. And so they didn't tell him for about 2 weeks while they put things in place, because they knew that that dog was what was keeping him alive still. And the minute they told him, within 48 hours, he was not able to care for himself any longer, and he ended up in a nursing home. So I think sometimes, you know, the cats, the dogs, the birds that keep people kind of up and moving are a part of this too.
Yeah. And you do have nursing homes that are part of a program they call the Eden Alternative.
Yes,
and a lot of that is having lots of plants mm-hmm. and pets around. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that some of those places actually have gardens where the people can go out and plant tomatoes? Yeah. And I thought that was fabulous.
Yeah. When I ran a nursing home in Ithaca, New York, we had an Eden Alternative nursing home.
Did you?
It was good. And we had one person that worked full time who was in charge of that aspect mm-hmm. of the home with the taking care of the pets, including, but we had lots of birds mm-hmm. and taking care of the garden and running activities around the Eden Alternative concept.
Well, I mean, the person still feels like it's a part of something they remember. You know,
yes.
they did it. Yeah. And if they can go into the kitchen and make their own sandwich or, you know, see familiar things that, because I think the Eden alternative is fabulous.
It's great. And it does help people to be happier and healthier during the end stage of their life. Mm-hmm. But they still are in a skilled nursing facility,
exactly.
Which means they need a lot of help.
Right.
And so those people are very old to begin with, and they're aging extremely fast, and they're getting a bombardment on their affect. So a lot of times they get very depressed because they're losing so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And then that depression leads to dementia. And so now they begin to forget who they are, what's going on, who the people are that are visiting them, and then they become very agitated mm-hmm. as a result. So there's some really great therapy you can do for that. Validation therapy is a really cool therapy. It's used in nursing homes for helping old people to not be depressed and not be agitated and have the best chance of living happily at the end stage of their life.
Mm-hmm. I have actually, and I think you have studied this as well, but I've looked into what they're doing in Israel with CBD oil mm-hmm. and with a lot of the aging people there. And people who were just sitting and basically staring off into space, once they start using CBD oil, some of it will have the THC in of it, some of it won't,
yeah.
but that all of a sudden they come back.
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, in Israel, they have a whole advanced system of caring for people using different types of CBD oil.
Mm-hmm.
It's much different
mm-hmm.
than here.
Right, it is.
Yeah, well,
for now.
In regard to the agenda against
uh-huh.
aging and death,
right.
So you have the current situation where most all people are aging along. They're really not doing anything about it. And by the time they're around 85 years old, they're going to die. That's what's called the median maximum lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
It's the average amount of time someone will live before they die of old age.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can do a lot of things about that 85 years. And this radical agenda to stop the aging process is being spearheaded by very wealthy individual investors, corporations, and drug companies, and even nonprofits like the Life Extension Foundation.
Hmm.
So, for example, Jeff Bezos, who founded Amazon, who's the richest person in the world, has invested a tremendous amount of money into companies that are doing anti-aging research, including one called Unity Biotech, which has raised over $113 million to invest in researching different aspects of aging. And that's only one of 10 companies that have raised over $100 million for research in anti-aging.
Wonder how many of these are baby boomers that are beginning to look at their own longevity and going, ooh, I need to do something.
Yeah. Well, that, and it's also a great business opportunity.
Yes, yeah.
So you also have Google is investing money in anti-aging research. And then you also have some situations where anti-aging discoveries are actually being suppressed. So you have the drug that was developed for treating arthritis,
mm-hmm.
right? As it was being used, it was discovered kind of anecdotally that the people that were using it for arthritis ended up having a much less chance of getting Alzheimer's disease. And when they measured it, it was actually 65% less.
That's tremendous,
right.
Really.
And so there's obviously a link between inflammation, which is what the drug was addressing, and Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And we already know there's a link between inflammation and CTE, which is chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is the concussion disease,
mm-hmm.
right? So football players, boxers, people in the military that are exposed to explosions have a very high likelihood of getting encephalopathy. But we also know that it's precipitated by inflammation, and the people with low inflammation do not get CTE. And now it's looking like the same thing is true with Alzheimer's, that if you keep your inflammation under control, you're unlikely to get Alzheimer's disease.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah. And so between the research that's going on with the drug companies and, you know, the Life Extension Foundation and others, this really is a big push now at this time of, you know, in the year 2019, 2020 is where there's a ton of money being pumped into this research. So we have to then ask ourselves, so what's it going to be like if this works? Uh-huh. What will happen if the life expectancy is extended out to 200, 300, 500, or 1,000 years? What will it be like? And so you have to begin to think about, is this going to cause overpopulation? Number one.
That right? would be number one. But right. I'm also kind of even imagining somebody, if the normal life expectancy kind of got pushed out to, let's say, from 85 to 105, you know, an extra 20 years, I would not want to be living in Pinellas County watching somebody 105 drive a car.
Well, it depends on how healthy they are. They might be 105 going on 55.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Kind or of maybe like, by then we'll right. have electric cars and they just get M1.
And not only that, but I mean, just look at yourself. Mm-hmm. You are X, whatever age you are, but you're acting like you're going on 30.
Right.
And you have the capability physically still to drive and do whatever you want. And when you're 105, you probably still will.
That's probably all true.
Right? It's probably true. So mm-hmm. the issue is what's going to happen if we now start to have this overpopulation because nobody's dying, and what kind of damage is going to happen to our Earth?
In the environment, right?
The environment, right? And
so are there people thinking about that too? So it's not just let's make people live longer, but are they looking at all the aspects?
No, the people that are looking at creating the therapies are uh-huh. not really looking at that part. The other thing that can happen is, so what happens if you're 1,000 years old now, and are you going to remember what happened to you, what it was like when you were 20 years old?
Maybe you'll just have multiple lifetimes.
Maybe you'll have to segment it.
Right.
And you go back and get remarried. When you're 750, you right. can get married and have children again.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. The other thing that's been brought up is, what about boredom? And you know, are you going to be bored with the planet after 1,000 years?
Well, maybe by then we'll be able to go live on Mars for 100 years and then go live on some other planet that we don't even know about.
Maybe. And then think about prison sentences. What if someone commits a terrible crime and they put you in prison for 30 years?
Yeah.
Right? Well, that's nothing if you're going to live to be 1,000. So are they going to have to adjust the prison sentences and assign you to go to jail for 700 years? And are you going to be allowed to have anti-aging technology in prison?
Boy, those are really like baffling, right? huge questions. Because the other thing is just food. Yeah. If we are going to live that length of time, then we have to come up with a much better system of producing food.
Yeah, and how long are you going to have to work before you retire?
Right, you might be 600 or 700 years old before you retire.
Right, because now you work till you're 65 and you live to 85, mm-hmm. right? So if we're going to live to 850, that means we have to work till we're 650 on the same ratio, right?
Okay.
So, but what could be some of the benefits? Right? Uh-huh. So one of the benefits is you'll have enough time to travel the whole world. You'll be able to go. You'll be able to do every single thing on your bucket list.
On your bucket list.
And you'll be able to have a 10 bucket list.
Wow.
And you'll be able to go everywhere. Probably not even just to the world, but maybe, as you said, to Mars. Maybe even travel to different star systems.
Right.
1,000 years from now, we might be able to travel to other solar systems.
I'm thinking you can sit down in a special chair and just be there.
Yeah.
That's a strong possibility.
That's it. And then think about the learning. Mm-hmm. By the time someone's 1,000 years old, how many PhDs might they have?
Exactly.
In everything that they're interested
that they're
in.
Interested
they could
in.
Earn a PhD. And also, what about families? What about children? So if someone's going to live to be 1,000, and like say now someone lives to be 100 and they have 10 children, the kids are 10 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to live to be 1,000, the kids are 100 years apart. So you might have a brother that's 200 or 300 years younger than you or older than you.
Right? Hmm. The Yodas of the world will be here.
Yeah.
Because he was how old in Star Wars? Yoda was like hundreds of years old. Yeah.
I'm not sure. The other benefit is you probably will be able to choose your age. So, you know, what physical age do you want? Do you want to be the age of 20 or 17 or 30 or 40? Like, what's the sweet spot for you when your hormones had matured to a certain point where you were very vibrant, but had matured to the point where you have more control over your impulses?
True. And that would be the age that you might stay for all 1,000 years.
Yeah, that's it. You dial up the age you want and you stay for 1,000 years. But then what if it goes beyond that? What if you have true immortality, right? So then how many years do you need to plan for? So I always tell people plan for 4B means plan for 4 billion, right? Because that's approximately the time that the Andromeda galaxy is going to overtake the Milky Way and essentially crush it out of existence. And so unless we can do some galaxy hopping or hop to a planet on a globular cluster on the outskirts of Andromeda, we probably need to realize that we might not live beyond 4 billion years. And so in which case, you'd have to work till you are about 3,500,000,000.
Wow. Those are numbers that are just, oh my goodness gracious. And yeah. I'm sure that there are think tanks that are sitting someplace as we speak that are working out some of these ideas, the what ifs of the world.
Yeah. Oh, there's lots of people thinking about immortality and what will happen and when will this universe ultimately end as it expands and then contracts back in on itself. And at that point, are we going to be able to hop to another universe in the multiverse?
You know what I'm also thinking about as you're talking, because, I mean, you and I have worked in the health field for a long time, and for myself as a psychotherapist for years. But I'm thinking of all these people that have depression in particular that used to come in and see me and go, I'm just done. I don't care if I live any longer. So would they be able to maybe dial forward past their depression in this kind of a what if? Because maybe they've been depressed because of hormonal differences or chemical imbalances for all their life. Could they dial forward and be out of it and say, okay, you never have to experience that again? I wonder.
Oh, I believe so, because if it's not a genetic issue, right now you can pretty much help anyone with depression.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a genetic issue, you'll be able to modify it.
Too,
you'll
right?
be able to correct it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So then they could say, okay, you've had this forever, but now from this day forward, you can move ahead and be your best person without depression or anxiety or whatever it might be. And that would be what you dial into for the rest of those hundreds of years.
Yeah, well, that's another aspect to it. So if people could take a pill today and say, okay, now you're never going to age again a day. Well, that's great, but now what are you going to do? Because I'm actually miserable, right? I'm depressed. I'm in a bad marriage, whatever it is. So just because of the fact that you could live forever doesn't mean you want to.
Exactly. So they'd have to want to be in that place in their life where everything is special, wonderful, miraculous. Yeah. I mean, you wake up in the morning and you go, wow, what is going to happen that's amazing today? Yeah. That kind of thinking.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Wake up with joy in your heart in the morning and gratitude and live out your day with the highest expression of yourself.
All right. Go hug those trees.
There you go. So what is it then that this radical agenda is working on? What are the aging processes that are being worked on? So there's the whole issue of the loss of cells over time. Right. So different things happen to cells as you age, and our body's made up of, you know,
billions,
a trillion cells, say. Right. And the cell is the basis of life. So as your cells are not functioning properly, you are not functioning properly. And so a cell can actually die off and be dead, or a cell can go rogue and become a cancer cell, right? A cell can also be a cell that is supposed to die off to make room for a brand new cell, but refuses to die. And so it becomes this very old cell that's having secretions of toxic cytokines, which are damaging all the cells in the region. Okay.
So what's the reason that a cell refuses to die?
Well, there's a signal that is given genetically to tell a cell now it's time to die.
To go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But either the signal is not being given because as you get older, your DNA is not working as well, okay, or the signal's not being received.
So it's a little bit of a short circuit.
Yeah. And so people have to be able to look at the whole aspect of cellular chemistry and cellular rejuvenation, right? So you have to be able to produce new cells, which are going to be coming from your adult stem cells from your bone marrow, mm-hmm, are being released constantly and migrating to the parts of your body and morphing into all the different types of cells.
Uh-huh.
And then you also have to make sure that you don't have lots of cells that are going rogue, and you have to be able to stimulate the old cells to die off so they can be replaced by the adult stem cells that are coming out. So that's a big area of research,
mm-hmm,
is particularly the biggest area is how do we get rid of the old cells that won't die?
Mm-hmm.
And there's hundreds of millions of dollars being directed at that research.
And Boomers has that.
Well, it's, you know, as happens with a lot of development of drugs, they actually find active ingredients that are in plants,
mm-hmm,
that are used as the basis for that drug. And in this case, as it turns out, if you take two compounds from grapes, one is resveratrol and the other quercetin, those two in combination will make it so that a stimulus happens that will kill off these old cells. And you can do it if you have a compound that has, if you have a product that has both the skin and the seed of the grape, and in our case, a muscadine grape,
mm-hmm,
which puts those two compounds together and creates this cellular death you're looking for, this apoptosis. Right. And in a sense, because there are companies like Life Extension Foundation, who is an all natural, more nutritional approach, as is Boomers Forever Young, and the research we've done, we are ahead of the drug companies in this race against aging.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And they're catching up. They're doing their research. And they're using a lot of the compounds that have already been used for years.
And except they'll go in and probably put it out, right, not as a natural product, but as a prescription.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. They'll patent it and test, mm-hmm, it and get an FDA approval and, mm-hmm, sell it through the doctors.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole idea.
Well, yeah, at least doctors will start getting educated on health instead of on, yeah, disease. I mean, they'll,
yeah,
understand
it. It'll be a switch. It'll,
right,
be a switch. Oh, you're 88 years old and you have this, 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 and this. Let me give you something for apoptosis,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
This will help clear out your old cells. And, oh, by the way, let me help you do something for your telomeres, maybe to lengthen them.
Exactly,
a little bit, right?
Exactly.
And it'll be a drug that has the active ingredient from ashwagandha.
Right, which we already have.
Or kudzu, uh-huh, or astragalus.
Right.
Plus some amino acids and vitamins, which we know there are certain formulas put together from all natural things that will actually lengthen your telomeres. So what are telomeres?
Right. And before you tell us what that is, the thing that is just making me a little bit, I don't even know the word I want to use. It's not just curious, but I mean, when you listen to ads, say with the 6 o'clock news, or if you are having television on, let's say, on a Saturday, sometimes in the morning, the drug companies all have to use disclaimers now as to what their drugs can cause as a side effect. Don't use if, and then they have 20 things that you shouldn't use it if. And I'm just thinking, if they actually come up with things that are nutritional in nature, they won't have that anymore because there can't be very many side effects that are going to be negative. There'll only be, this can happen if you use it, and it'll all be positives.
Yeah, yeah. If you take this drug for, you know, inflammation, it's going to help with these 19 things.
Yes, yeah.
And what's the side effect? You might lose some weight if you need to.
If you need to, right.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, my gosh.
So telomeres is another area that many different factions are working on. Telomeres are little tails on the end of your chromosomes that mm-hmm. contain information. And as people age, their DNA inside the nucleus of each cell, over time, it likes to divide itself and replicate. Mm-hmm. And as it does that, it uses up little bits of the telomere. And when your telomere, over about 50 times of this doubling of the DNA, mm-hmm. will become so short that there's not enough information left. And on this 51st doubling, you have all kinds of errors in your DNA.
Oh.
And this is what happens when you see someone who lived to be 94, 95 years old. They're very, very healthy. They're skiing. They're doing this. And all of a sudden they get sick. And 6 months later, they die. They died of old age in the sense that their telomeres could no longer support them.
So the replication
in the
process
accurate
stops.
Accurate replication. Yeah. And their internal organs start to break down.
Okay.
And so, what do you do about this phenomenon of aging if you don't want to die when you're 85 or 90 mm-hmm. years old? Mm-hmm. You have to provide support to your body to be able to maintain the veracity of your telomeres. And there's an enzyme called human telomerase, which helps to rebuild your telomeres. Now, human telomerase is an extremely large and complex molecule, and up until about 3 years ago, nobody actually knew the structure of it. Hmm. And it took about $80 million and about 80 researchers from various institutions, including the UCLA School of Medicine, to figure out the actual structure of human telomerase.
How did they discover it to begin with?
How did they discover human telomerase?
Yeah.
Well, the same way that they discover all the other little things from researchers in laboratories having a hypothesis and then testing the hypothesis to say, you know, I think this might be the case. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to test like this.
So they saw it. I mean, they saw that it was larger than the others.
Yeah. But it was, had so many components to it. Mm-hmm. And it was so complicated that in order to figure out that structure, in order to hopefully be able to replicate it, mm-hmm. right? Imagine go for your telomerase shot, and next thing you know, your telomeres lengthen. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, but your body does make telomerase, right? Because it's coded for in your DNA. There's actually a genetic code for how to make it. And so that code, you have to understand then if you want to deal with telomeres and telomerase, you have to understand the entire sequence of how it's created, right?
Wow.
And so it's created from the genetic code. So you have to be able to make sure that your nutritional status and also your mental status is in the right place so that two things occur. One, if that code for telomerase gets damaged by stress, oxidative stress or toxicity, that it can be repaired. And also, that you have the right substrates and the right mindset to allow for the expression of that bit of DNA. So that bit of DNA, like the rest of it, is kind of wrapped up and cloaked in a protein sheath. And in order for it to express, something has to ping it to open that section up so it can be copied by your RNA. And then the RNA holds the secret and calls for all the amino acids, the metabolic enzymes, that will assemble this intricate structure that's a million times more complex than a jigsaw puzzle. And so that's how that occurs. So you need to know, for example, what's likely, the most likely thing that is going to ping that part of the DNA to create the expression is vitamin D. Now, lots of people are low in vitamin D.
Yes,
almost everybody in certain countries are low in vitamin D, yet it expresses 25% of your entire genome.
And you know, the thing that it's surprising, because I'll have people that will say, oh, well, I can't be low in vitamin D because I live in Florida, or I live in Colorado. My son lives out there. But if you're in a house, a car, and a building the majority of the time, and you don't have it on bare skin, you're going to be low on vitamin D.
The rule of thumb is that there's in this part of Florida, the middle part of Florida, there's about 8 months out of the year where if you were to go outside every day for a half an hour in a bathing suit, if you're a woman, just in a bathing suit top, if you're a man with no shirt on, and walk in the sun 15 minutes to your chest and 15 minutes to your back, you would make enough vitamin D for proper genetic expression.
For one day.
Right, each day. Mm-hmm. Each day you'd have to do that. And the other 4 months out of the year, the sun is sold too low in the sky, even in Florida, to make enough vitamin D. So you'd have to live close to the equator, and you'd have to be outside every day in the noonday sun, not in the morning or evening.
Right. And I think that that's a fallacy that a lot of people believe. It's just because they live in the sunshine state. And I know Colorado was second to it, that they should be getting enough, and they just don't realize
getting
that.
Getting sun on your face and your arms once in a while is
doesn't
not,
do the trick.
That doesn't do it. So you need to make sure you know your vitamin D level, and you need to take enough vitamin D to keep it.
That I've always heard is you want it to be 70 or higher, and not to let doctors give you a range, which is what they typically do, is they'll say you fall within the normal range.
Which could be as low as 30. So you are in the normal range that the drug companies and the laboratory companies created, right? But it's not optimal for your full genetic expression.
So
you are
70.
Going to age more quickly if you don't have the right level of vitamin D.
Do you kind of use that same number of 70?
Yeah, 70 is good, higher. And you can go up to 85 or 90 without being toxic. So the other thing is just what we talked about earlier, which is the whole aspect of oxidation, right? So human bodies are similar to a log burning in the fire. And if you put a log on the fire, 2-3 hours later, it's going to have burned up and turned to smoke and ash, right? Humans are the same way. We are aerobic life, and we're burning ourselves up over time. And that is, there's a direct correlation between how much inflammation you have from this burning, because some people are burning faster than other people are burning. Just like you can take a log that is hickory or black walnut, it's going to burn very, very hot and very fast. But if you have a soggy piece of cottonwood, it's going to barely burn at all and probably still be there 3 or 4 days later. And you can also adjust the flue and pump the bellows, and, so you can make a log burn fast or slow. It's the same thing with a human. Some humans burn very, very fast, right? And there's actually a disease where people age very, very fast, and it's a genetic disease where people's are burning up quickly, and their DNA is not repairing itself as fast as it should be. And so by the time they're 40 years old, they're like they're 100 and they've died of old age. And so this is probably about 50% of why people age is from this oxidation. And so there are drug companies, like the drug for arthritis was accidentally discovered. This also helps with Alzheimer's. Well, I'll bet you that if they had tested for many other diseases also, like heart disease, stroke, diabetes, right, that they would have discovered the same thing.
Because it slowed the oxidation process.
It slowed the rate of burn, and it slowed the damage that was being caused by the burn. Because the rate of burn is damaging your DNA, and it's damaging your mitochondria and all the rest of your body, right? And so there's a test for this also. So just like with the vitamin D, you want that number to be higher, right, than the range. You want it to be up at around 70. with the test for inflammation, you want it to be lower.
Low.
And so that test is called CRP, or C-reactive protein. It's an enzyme made in your liver in response to inflammation, so you can tell how fast you're burning yourself up with this test. Now, it's also the highest predictor of someone having a heart attack. Hmm. The higher your CRP, the more likely you are to have a heart attack, right? And it is also the precursor for cancer and diabetes and strokes and heart disease, all them, and Alzheimer's disease.
I was going to say, is Alzheimer's
all the major things that are these adult onset diseases that people get. Mm-hmm. There's a direct correlation between your C-reactive protein and to the degree to which you're at risk for these diseases. Okay? And so you want your C-reactive protein to be lower. And this is something the drug companies are working on, coming up with a drug that they can patent. They'll say, this will lower your inflammation and will help everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they've been working on it for a while. No one has that yet. Right? However, we know that you want your CRP to be below 0.5. And there is research on levels of CRP and adult onset diseases. You can get it down below 0.1 if you work on it. And we know what the compounds are that you need to ingest to get it there. And they are superoxide dismutase, trimethylglycine, right? Vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E, glutathione. These are the antioxidants that as your body produces the little hot coals from being aerobic life, mm-hmm. these are the compounds that neutralize them before they can cause the damage.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you consume these compounds, you notice that as you measure your CRP in your blood, that it goes down and down and down and down. And if you continue to take in those compounds, it'll stay very low. You'll have very low inflammation. And quite honestly, you can slow your rate of aging by 50% just by doing that. And they also damages your telomeres.
Sure. Yeah, it would. I'm also thinking that somebody who has a higher inflammation rate, that probably they look, or their skin looks at least older than if they keep it low. It seems like a lot of people that have that youthful appearance most likely have low inflammation.
Yes, that's generally true. Generally true. So That's a really, really big one right there. And in regard to waiting for some day when a drug comes out that you can take for inflammation, mm-hmm. absolutely not necessary to do.
Mm-hmm.
Our company, Boomers Forever Young, already has that covered. We already have people that use our products whose CRP is below 0.1. And you can watch it come down. People will tell you, I asked my doctor for this test. This was the number. 6 months, a year later, they'll have it tested, and it's come way, way down by a factor of 10, usually, sometimes by a factor of 30 or even 50.
Wow.
And people that have diabetes are in a catch-22 because they, as people get diabetes, sometimes they got it from inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they get diabetes, the inflammation gets worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, you have extra blood sugar that is in your blood. And it doesn't just sit there. It's not dropping down into the cells to be burned as fuel. And so it glycates the proteins in your blood. It bumps against the protein and changes the structure of the protein into a toxin. And it throws off a molecule of superoxide, which is one of the main oxidants that's burning your body up. So the higher your blood sugar, the higher your inflammation.
Wow.
Okay. So it's particularly important for people with diabetes to be sure to take the compounds that reduce their inflammation. Because even if you have diabetes, you can get your CRP below 0.1.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if your A1C, which is your measure of your blood sugar over time, is still high, even as high as 8 or 9, which is really high.
Mm-hmm.
The average you want down around 5.5. And you're making tons and tons of extra superoxide. If you take the right amount of superoxide dismutase and trimethylglycine, it will neutralize it so that you do not get symptoms of being a diabetic. Problems with your eyes, your kidneys, your periphery, and your intestines, and the like. Right? And this is very important to know because when people have high inflammation, they start to get damage in certain places first. And your kidneys and your eyes are first.
I've always heard eyes. And, of course, kidneys because down the road, a lot of them are facing dialysis.
Yes. And not only that, but there's a new study that came out just a few days ago that says that a high predictor of amputation of your feet and legs is how much damage has happened to your eyes and kidneys. My. So even if you've never had a problem with your feet or your legs, you have a microcirculation problem in your kidneys and your eyes. You also have it in your feet. You just don't know it yet.
So the toxins pool there?
Well, the toxins pool there, yes. But the problem is if you get a nick or a cut on your foot.
The infection.
Because of the poor microcirculation, it tends to get infected and it becomes a resistant MRSA type infection. And you end up with amputations. Even if you didn't even know it, you're 14 times more likely to need an amputation if you damage your feet, if you already have eye problems and kidney problems. And so it's like this hidden thing too. The inflammation is kind of a silent and hidden killer because not hardly anybody ever gets treated for it, yet they die from it. And it's what they're dying from, but no one's treating them for it.
You know, that's interesting because I think we've all heard that cardiovascular disease is a hidden killer. I mean, that's one of the terms that it's not as obvious as other things until it's too late or until, you know, you have that widowmaker that didn't kill you, but man, it's right there.
Right.
'Cause when my husband was in the hospital a number of different times, it seems like half of the time he either had a roommate who was diabetic that was beginning to have an amputation, or one of the last ones was somebody who actually had chest pains, and when they got him to the emergency room, they said it was a widowmaker. They got to him just in time.
The predictor for that is C-reactive protein.
Doctors don't even, I mean, I have to tell people that I'm talking to, ask for those two tests. Ask for your D3, ask for the CRP, because they don't even include it in the blood panel. And if you don't ask, you don't know.
Right. That's right. The other one you want to absolutely ask for is your iron.
Iron.
People tend to have high iron more than they have low iron. So some people are low on iron and they have fatigue because the iron is in your hemoglobin, which is transporting your oxygen. But much more common is that people actually have high iron. And that high iron is damaging their mitochondria, which is the powerhouse that makes energy in your cell. So you can actually become fatigued from high iron as well. And so people need to test their iron and keep their iron level right about 20% above the low end of the range. Right?
I think the low end is like 12.5 or something right along in there.
Yeah, depending on which iron test you get. There's like five different ones. And so they each have their own range. But in this case, you want to keep it just about 20% above the low end of the range. A lot of times people will go for an iron test and they'll be told, oh, you're okay, you're in the range. But they're 1 point below the high end of the range. And they're not okay. And that in that case, particularly for men, it also affects your testosterone. If you get very high iron, you tend to get very low testosterone. And then if you start getting testosterone treatments, it raises your iron
level. Iron level too. So it then it's a double-edged sword there.
So you have to find a balance. The best thing to do if you have high iron is go donate blood, okay, and do it that way. And even if you're not allowed to donate blood that will be used, if you have high iron, you can get a prescription for giving blood that is disposed of.
It was interesting. I try to give blood a couple of times a year. And the last time I went, they are using some new technology to measure your iron, and your hand has to be warm. And it was very chilly in our offices, and so my hands got a little bit chilly. And she, you know, told me that I was 2 points too low. But then she brought a little bag of rice that she'd warmed up that I held on to for a few minutes. And then she took it again, and it was fine. It was like 12.7 or 12.5. But I thought that was interesting, is that sometimes if you go to donate blood, you're going to get at least a range of where your iron is. And if it would be too high, you know, hopefully they would tell you, or you could ask. I always ask, you know, what are my scores?
Right. Good idea. Mm-hmm. Good idea. So those are three of the tests that you definitely want.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The other one is with your blood sugar. You want to know, you want to make sure they test your blood sugar for that day. But then also your A1C is a test of blood sugar over time, 2 to 3 month period.
So what do you go in, like once a month over 2 to 3 months?
No, no, you go in, it's just once. It's one test, and it's measuring a marker that's telling you what your blood sugar likely was based on these markers.
Okay. Right? So, and again, doctors very seldom will tell you these things, that, you know, these are good indicators for somebody to know what their inflammation level, their immune system functioning, their iron level.
Right.
They just don't. They don't say anything about it.
Generally, a doctor looks at some symptom that you have,
mm-hmm.
which is being caused from low D3 or is being caused from high inflammation or high iron or excessive cortisol, that type of thing. And so they give you a drug to help with that symptom,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't actually treat the cause.
Right.
And
it has all the other side effects from the drug they're giving you.
Right. Right. But the good thing is that with this radical agenda mm-hmm. against aging and death, the new targets for the drug companies and other research institutes are the actual causes.
Right.
To try to give people the opportunity to have a balance in their biomarkers
mm-hmm.
so that they don't get these adult onset diseases.
And a lot of the people, again, listening that might be, I don't know, drinking a lot of sodas, for instance. I know with the young people, I think there's still a fair number of beverages out there that have a lot of sugar in them. And so they maybe don't realize that sugar is one of the leading causes of inflammation, whether it's in donuts or something, right. cappuccinos or, you know, isn't right. that fairly true? That,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a really good book called The Sugar Impact Diet,
mm.
which helps you identify where all the hidden sugar is.
Right.
And you can change your C-reactive protein quite a lot with your diet, right? But if you want to participate in anti-aging to the maximum degree,
mm-hmm.
you have to consume antioxidants by mouth mm-hmm. that will give you a leg up in that regard too.
Right, right.
Right. The other thing that the drug companies are not focusing on as much is the whole aspect of stress.
Hmm.
And when they say that stress kills,
it does,
right? It really does.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually, you know, die from adrenal exhaustion. And people get adrenal exhaustion when they have this constant activation of a metabolic pathway, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. And there's information being passed around, and it gets stuck and locked in, and you're constantly secreting too much cortisol, right? Which causes a lot of inflammation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is usually being precipitated by another metabolic pathway and a premature cognitive commitment that says everything is not okay. And when you are like the average American, where only 5% of the time are you of the belief that everything is okay,
okay, right.
And 95% of the time you're under some type of anxiety because you're worried about something,
mm-hmm.
you activate a precipitating pathway that's involved with the neurons in your heart muscle,
mm-hmm.
your amygdala, and your frontal cortex. And you're sending a signal from your heart muscle to your amygdala, to your frontal cortex, that's basically saying things are not okay.
Right.
And so you have this cyclical self-perpetuating pathway that leads to the second pathway that leads to the excessive cortisol. And that's essentially what's happening with almost all stress, is people have a belief from their life experience and the way that they filtered information, the way that they generalized and deleted and distorted information that matched beliefs that they either heard or created, that things are awful. People are really good at awfulizing. And this leads to this type of stress. And the stress leads to the hormonal changes, which are going to lead to potential problems with autoimmune disease, as we discussed the last time.
Right.
And so what I like to use for stress management is a few different things. One is tapping, the emotional freedom technique, can help you change beliefs, right? You tap and say, even though up until now I thought I had to believe this, I completely love and accept myself, and I'm so grateful now that I believe this.
Right.
Right. And you can replace beliefs quickly and easily that way. And I also like using my inner balance device from HeartMath, which helps to interrupt the pathway that's involved with your amygdala, and it actually changes the way that your heart beats. It changes your heart rate variability so that a different signal is being sent to your amygdala from the neurons in your heart.
Right. That inner balance is quite a remarkable piece of equipment, really.
Yeah. It's a really great cardio neurobiofeedback device with instructions and games in order to change your stress level. And it works really well. But only always.
And I know that if people are looking for that device, because even my family care physician that I see, she ordered one for her daughter and for herself to use it. But they can go through the Boomer website and then find the Inner Balance device. It's in, I think it's under just products.
Yep.
But that link takes them right to HeartMath Institute, correct?
Yep.
And so they
right to the page they need.
And so it's very easy to order one and then to begin using it. It's simple. But a lot of people that even
it
those
clips
that,
to your ear.
Yeah, right. Yep. And then just on your clothes. But a lot of people that thought they were pretty good at meditation, when they use that device, they're very surprised because they're still in their head. They're not in heart coherence.
Right.
And in order to change that, you have to get into a very different mindset than you do with just plain old meditation.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say plain old, but.
Yeah. And it works right away. It starts to help. Mm-hmm. And then it gets better and better and better as you go.
As you go. Right. Yep. So then your cells are very happy that you're giving them a chance to recover from whatever.
Yeah. You're changing your general belief system from where you believe that things are not okay to where most of the time things are okay. And so it totally changes the hormonal balance.
The balance that you have. Right. And I think that in turn, quite honestly, probably changes your inflammation rate. Because at that point, your body is just like, oh, okay. I don't have to run from the saber-toothed tiger.
Right.
Everything is okay, and now I can get on with repairing the cells in my body, and I don't have to be on alert.
Right. Well, it stops the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. When you believe everything's okay, that axis stops running. And so now you're not secreting excessive hormones from your adrenals.
Right.
And exhausting your adrenals, in which those same hormones do a lot of good things in your body. So if you're using them all up because you don't believe everything's okay,
it's okay, right.
Then certain other aspects of your body, like your thymus that needs lots of DHEA, and also, you know, your whole sex hormone cascade.
Right, and that goes back to that molecules of love and desire one that we did, that, you know, if you actually are on alert all the time, it's pretty hard to relax and enjoy anything, whether it's sex or something else. But
Exactly. The other part to this that the drug companies are not doing anything about, which is a very large part of aging, is what's called the collective nocebo of aging. And it's essentially of the fact that a child who's about 5 years old begins to perceive the concept of impermanence. I'm five, my brother's 10, dad's 38, grandma's 78 and great grandma just died. Mm-hmm. And your unconscious mind goes, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is, you know, a placebo is something that happens that's good, that is actually doesn't have an active ingredient in it, but you thought that it did.
Mm-hmm.
And a nocebo is the opposite. It's something that's happening that doesn't have any really good apparent reason, but it's actually negative.
Mm-hmm.
And this nocebo is a collective societal nocebo that is causing people to age. And so in order to opt out of that, you have to have a technique. You have to be able to meditate. It's great to have an inner balance device.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to know how to do the ultimate mind calming exercise,
right,
which is right next to those videos on tapping mm-hmm. on our website. And once your mind is calm, you can then go through a whole guided meditation that will help you to convince your endocrine system and your chakras that it's okay now to opt out of the nocebo
mm-hmm.
and to be that part of your body mind to become neutral in that regard
mm-hmm.
so that it's you're no longer aging from this observation and unconscious commitment, this premature cognitive commitment.
Right. I'm going to use an example here that I have shared with some people, but you knew that I went to Harry Potter World not that long ago.
Yeah.
And so the day before we went this last time, Hagrid's roller coaster opened. I don't know whether I shared this with you or not,
mm-mm.
but Hagrid's roller coaster opened. And so they closed the park at Universal at 10 a.m. because of the crowds that came in for that roller coaster ride. So the day we were going to go, we were told to be there by 7:45 in the morning because the hotel we stayed at allowed us to enter early. Now, it doesn't mean you get into the park to do things early, but you can enter the grounds early. And they literally had us walking for it's sort of like a crowd control operation, for over 2 miles. We were behind buildings, in and out, loops all over the place. They would not let anybody get out of line. They just kept you in that line moving. So we finally are getting really close to getting into Harry Potter's area of Universal. And the person I'm with steps out and asks one of the attendants for Universal, we don't want to ride Hagrid's ride. Can we get out of line? We just want to do XYZ in the park. The person looked at him and goes, well, sure. And we stepped out of line and we had the park to ourselves. There were so few people in Harry Potter's area because they were all in line for Hagrid.
They didn't know they could get out.
And they didn't know they could get out. And so the whole image here is that you can either decide that you're going to age, or that you're going to be sick, or that you're going to be in a lack type of mentality, or you can say, no, I don't want to be in that part. I'm going to step out of line and go over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so few people understand that they have that ability to do that. So
yeah.
I think that's a perfect example of just, making the decision that I can get healthy emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally. I can get healthy, but I may have to step out of line. And are they willing to do that?
Yeah, they say that people will not improve until they give more importance to their dreams and desires
mm-hmm.
than they do to their comfort zone.
Exactly.
Yep.
And it's so fun when you finally make that decision that, no, I don't have to do it the way everyone else is doing it.
Yeah.
I can do it this way, and it's just infinitely more fun. And happiness, joy, all of that can come. But it is a decision, and I think it's a decision that hopefully a lot of the listeners, that are listening today, can kind of see that they can get healthier. So they can go on the, Synergy Connection Radio. They can go there,
mm-hmm.
and they can actually go on then the Boomer's website. They can look for the Inner Balance. We have a new product, I guess, at Boomers called Evolve Immune.
Mm-hmm.
And you maybe want to say something about that real quickly.
Just one aspect of it. We had talked about the idea of stem cells. So people need mm-hmm. to be able to regenerate their body.
Uh-huh. Right?
And human bodies are regenerated in a couple different ways. But primarily, we make new adult stem cells in our bone marrow. Mm-hmm. It's released into our bloodstream and it migrates and creates brand new cells. And as people age, they tend to make less of them. And also their circulation can become less. And so it becomes harder to repair yourself. And one of the main aspects of this product is that it helps you to produce and release more stem cells. And so we have someone even right here at the office that's been taking them. Mm-hmm. And he's in his 80s. And he was saying how dramatic a difference it is in creating more strength in his legs.
Yeah, I heard heard about that, that he, I think he mows his grass or something. And so part of it was downhill. And then when he was coming back up the hill, he had twice the strength that he did before.
So that's and so this is a really great product that does a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. But in regard to the aging part, that's the most important thing, is it's creating more adult stem cells.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
And so they're migrating to your liver, your brain, your muscles.
Don't they go kind of where they need to go? Like, you have so many destinations in your body, but I guess I had read or heard or something that they actually target the area that needs it the most. They go there first.
Well, not necessarily that needs it the most in a sense, but certainly if there's an injury, that will occur.
Okay, right? So it picks that up somehow.
But there is a new technology that was recently patented to help direct those stem cells.
Oh.
And so people in the future will be able to have stem cells that are either taken from their own body and centrifuged and some growth factors added and then injected back just into their blood. And then this fluid will contain magnetic nanoparticles. And then they'll be able to put a magnet where the spot is where you need them.
Oh, my goodness.
And the blood will actually go there. As it passes through, the magnet will suck out these magnetic nanoparticles and drag the stem cells, for example, right onto your heart. The man who's going to be the first person to receive that treatment for his heart was here in our office the other day. He was a doctor. And his friends invented the product.
That's amazing because I know there has been technology in other countries using stem cells to repair valves and things of that nature.
Yep.
And it did the job. And that was, like 40 years ago, 35 years ago with sheep. They had stem cells and they said they didn't know whether it would work, but they were willing to give it a shot. She's been fine ever since.
Yeah.
So it is incredible. Yep. Well, Bob, as always, this has been a terrific show. I know we always come back and visit at least once a month because I think people need to truly understand that we definitely are spiritual beings by nature. We certainly know that we're emotional beings by nature. But if you don't have the physical foundation, in my mind, the rest of it doesn't matter because you've got to feel healthy and be healthy in order to make the rest of it work for you. So I really do hope that people visit the Boomer website, and they can go to boomerboost.com. If they want to go in that way, they can go in through synergyconnectionradio.com. And if they use in the promo code my name, L-U-C-Y, they get $5 off. And so that you won't get if you just go to the Boomer Boost site, but it would be great to definitely have people take a look at the products and you know, see how they could benefit.
And give us a call if you want.
Absolutely. And they can give you a call if they would like to have you as a guest speaker.
There you go. Happy to.
Okay. Thanks so very much. And I hope everybody out there listening will make this your best day.
Thank you for listening to the Synergy Connection Show. If you wanted to know more about the products Bob spoke about on today's show, please go to synergyconnectionradio.com. That's SYNERGY connectionradio.com. Click on the Boomers Vibrate a New banner on the homepage. Use promo code Lucy, that's L-U-C-Y, at checkout to save $5 on your order. Don't forget to tune in next week to the Synergy Connection Show.